All right, welcome back to On Further Review. New year as we jump into 2022, and got a little bit to catch up on and review in kind of recent weeks here, Micah, as well as forward to, you know, I hate to say it, but the bells are starting to ring towards the end of football season as well. So we just wanted to hop on. It goes by too fast. We wanted to hop on and talk about the kind of some of the past couple weeks in football here, as well as kind of projecting forward and looking ahead to the remaining weeks here as well. I know we missed a little bit of time, but glad to be back with you.
It seems like every single time we do this, at least recently, it's always been, hey, welcome back. It's been a while.
Yeah, this for time, sure.
We actually, And I know life gets busy for all of us. You know, everybody has things going on. And we just had an unexpected life event that happened to us right after the holiday season here, after Christmas, where, in case you guys didn't know, Cameron and I are brothers. So our mom went into the hospital a couple of days after Christmas, and basically, long story short, it was a very aggressive valley fever. It's something that we have here in Arizona. And she was in a coma for about a week, and under in an ICU with the ventilator and all the different equipment and life support equipment to keep her fighting. She's a fighter, and so she's been able to recover some. She's now awake out of the coma. I call it a coma. I'm not quite sure else to call it. She was unresponsive for about a week.
Yep.
So we wanted to kick this episode off with a call to our listeners to consider going to the Gail Gaudette GoFundMe, and maybe if you think about it, contribute something to this medical bills. It's going to be a pretty massive undertaking medically for my dad and for my mom, or for our dad and our mom. And but most importantly, if you can, and you know, something just to say a little prayer for her and to keep her in your thoughts and prayers over the next couple months and weeks, and our dad as well, and our family here. So if you think about it, definitely pray with us for her. Consider giving a little bit on the GoFundMe page, and at least if you can, give it a like or a share. That way the word gets out there, and we can raise some funds for our mom's medical bills. I know this time has made me think of other moms and dads who are going the same thing, other kids like myself. Mm-hmm. So know that we are praying with you as well too, as we go through this. If any of you all have similar situations, so we're praying and cheering for your loved ones as well.
Yeah, anybody that would feel so led to perhaps donate, there is that GoFundMe. I think if you just go to GoFundMe.com, but you can search for Gail Gaudette, which is GAUDET. And as Micah mentioned, you know, really, we appreciate all the positive feedback that we've received so far during this time, and the thoughts and prayers. And if you're led to donate, or at least just share and get the word out, that'd be much, much appreciated. So, as you mentioned, that's kind of where we've been at for the past couple of weeks here. And really, we wanted to do something maybe around the turn of the year right there for bowl season, or right in the thick of it before the New Year's Six type of thing. We were going to try to, you know, incorporate maybe some other listeners or some other, a guy that we've been in contact with, you know, have a guest type person on. And obviously that all fell through with this happening right before the new year, but glad to be back with you. A little bit of normalcy, or however you want to put it. Just a little bit more of back to a little bit of a routine, but obviously this is something still heavy on our hearts. So appreciate the prayers and anyone that would be feel led to give. Hopping into there's no easy way to transition from that.
There really isn't. Yeah. So, yeah, so
appreciate you guys. That. Yeah, right off the start. But we do want to jump into some of the football too. You know, we were slightly distracted around the turn of the year, but we still managed to find some time to relax and watch some football here. So I'm, you know, last time we left off, we were getting into bowl season and kind of wanted to do a quick review of the college football slate. What were your takeaways from bowl games you saw or matchups you saw, maybe the Natty, you know, between Bama and Georgia. But what were your thoughts on bowl season here this past, past 21, 22 year?
So the beginning, I really enjoyed the first part of bowl season, the early games. I always like the little guys. I went to a little guy school myself. And so seeing Middle Tennessee kick off with a win was special.
That's right.
And then I was hitting almost every single one of my bets for that first week of bowl games. And it was, yeah. I was on fire right then. It was wonderful. I always do this in the bowl season. I do like a 30 leg parlay just for shits and giggles. Right.
Yeah.
Just kind of picking against the picking into spread kind of thing against all teams. And I had my first 10 hit. And then after that just dropped off.
Wow.
So I was excited about that. And not so much excited about the end of the bowl game season where all my picks stopped hitting and teams started winning or not covering or whatnot. And then especially with the national championship, you know, I put some money, I'm not going to lie, I put some money in Alabama, not because I like Alabama, I hate them, but because they're Alabama, I thought it'd be a good way to make some easy money.
Right.
And I wound up losing that. And most importantly, I had a bet with a guy at work, a beer bet that I bet him in the SEC championship game that Alabama would win. I won that bet. And then he said, okay, next, you know, let's do the next round. And if Georgia wins, we'll cancel the bet. If Alabama wins, I'll buy you two beers.
Sure.
And so there you go. I lost two beers.
So you lost out a beer. Well, at least one even.
I lost at least one beer plus a couple bucks here. So the national championship game has a sour taste in my mouth that's not washed down by beer. So.
Yeah, right. Yeah, a dry taste of the mouth at that point.
Yes, like a dry sour taste. Yes.
Yeah, I thought it was. I mean, I was actually kind of at the same boat as you were, where the early part of the bowl games, you know, kind of invested, locked in, had some bets down, doing really well. Kind of in that middle part, it starts falling apart a little bit. I actually wound up doing pretty well overall during the course, but I didn't tweet out my picks, so that never happened.
There you go.
But I kind of liked Georgia in the championship. We'll get into this as we talk maybe a little bit in the NFL too, and looking forward to the divisional round here coming up. But there's just always something about that rematch. There's always something about that second time playing a team, or in the NFL, sometimes third time playing a team where you just don't know, you know, you don't know if one team's going to kind of figure it out or make the corrections they need, or the other team's going to make adjustments they need. And I thought Georgia hung in there. I thought early on it had a real good chance of just going Bama's way, like the SEC championship, and kind of getting away from Georgia. And I thought they hung in. That play, the play that sticks in my mind from the national championship, unfortunately, isn't even for Georgia. It's that fumble that the guy just casually grabs on the sideline from Stetson Bennett for the Bama player. That was one of the most bizarre plays I've ever seen. The kid is not trying to make a play. He's just literally grabbing the ball as he walks out of bounds, and it winds up being ruled a fumble, which was incredible. Yep. But kudos to Kirby Smart. Kudos to Georgia, and really the state of Georgia. You know, we got the Braves put them back on the track for trophies, and then having this hurdle overcome, a big one at that, as you mentioned. Bama's just always the perennial favorite, and that kind of mountain, that last step that Georgia had not been able to get over, and they did this year. So, you know, as someone that's been married into Sooner fandom, you know, I found myself chanting SEC at the end of the game. That's a joke. Not really. But here we go again, you know, the two top teams and really all year long, regardless of if you have SEC bias or anti-SEC bias, these, in my opinion, were the two best teams all year long. And so it was fun to see them play it out. I loved, one quick note on the national championship, I loved that first half. You can call it boring football. You can call it old school, whatever you want. I love field goal games when the defense is playing really well. I thought the offenses played pretty good too, but I just thought the defenses played better. And it's been a little bit since I've heard a college football game where you heard pad popping on that level. Like these guys, yep. I swear, like the guys on defense were the best athletes in that game. And it was just awesome to see. I'm someone who loves defense, grew up watching. And kind of one of my heroes was like Reggie White and that 95-96 mm-hmm. Packers defense. And I just love defense. And that was a fun game for me to watch it, you know, kind of the pick six put it away for Georgia, but kind of a defensive struggle. And I like that type of football, not like the Patriots Rams Super Bowl, where it was just kind of like crappy offense, more so than good defense. But this one just felt like the offense was in it. They just couldn't overcome how good the defenses were. And to Georgia's credit, they did enough. That takes us through the end of the college football season. All the changes now happen. It feels like college football offseason is just crazier than ever with transfer portals and coaches leaving and getting rehired and all that stuff. So that'll be bound to continue from now until August. But our attention obviously shifts to the NFL playoffs, right? Pretty much right after that college football season. And we had some drama the last week of the NFL season, which was kind of fun. I saw some people giving the 7 seed or the expansion of the NFL playoffs some of the credit for the excitement. I think there's usually always like about 2 games that really matter on that last weekend of the NFL for seeding or who's going to get in. But surprisingly, the Steelers sneaking in. That Raiders Chargers game was wild at the end of the season there and going into overtime. If they just sit on the ball, they both get in, and the Raiders instead kick the field goal to knock their divisional rivals out in the Chargers.
I love the Raiders' decision to win the game instead of sitting the field goals.
Same. Yep.
So I mean, and there's so many reasons for it. Number one is why would you not want to win the NFL? Just win, baby, right? That's the Raider. That's the Raider motto right there.
Right.
So it's built in their DNA. Plus, you don't want to see these guys again. And this is a tough divisional matchup for you.
Yeah.
If you let them in the playoffs, who's to say you might see them again down the road in the playoffs? You don't want that. So knock them out when you got the chance, eliminate them and then move on. And honestly, I think as a football fan, it was good to see Big Ben out there one last time.
Yeah.
I think, I remember the day that, Ben was drafted, right? And mm-hmm. from the Miami, Ohio. So seeing him, his entire career and watching him and seeing the sunset there, I obviously would have wished it was a closer game. He'd have done better, but it was at least good to see him go out on that note on the playoff field instead of just in a regular season. So
yeah,
I at least was grateful for that.
Yep.
The Bengals versus Raiders game, talk about the Raiders, Bengals, Raiders game. I don't know what much else could have been done for the Raiders. I thought they just kind of ran into a buzzsaw, so to speak, with the Bengals and Joe Burrow and his magic there.
Yeah, that kid is playing. He's playing something else. I mean, I agree. I think the Raiders had a good game plan in that wild card. I think that they followed it, and gave themselves a chance. There was obviously the officiating blunders, quote unquote, for the inadvertent whistle, or the whistle that was, basically not upheld, and the touchdown was. I don't think it really impacted the play, but obviously, yeah, like you said, the Bengals are just humming.
So now as we look ahead to the divisional matchup, and before, real quick here, did anyone pick the Cowboys to beat the Niners, like outside of the state of Texas?
I don't think so. That was one of those weird ones where it was like everybody. I was actually getting nervous because I had Niners money line, and I was like,
yep.
Is this now the public's side? Like, is there too many people on the Niners? Am I missing something? But it just was a rare opportunity to bet against Mike McCarthy. So
I love the fact. I absolutely love the fact that the game and their season ended on poor clock management. That to me is the most beautiful thing ever. I'm not sure. I honestly don't know which is the worst display of clock management, Dak Prescott's last 14 seconds or the Claypool's 10 second runoff with a celebration.
Yeah, that's a really good. That's a really good question. Yeah. I would lean the Claypool one. Obviously, the Cowboys one had higher stakes. You know, Dak was at least making a play. The Claypool one's just celebration. Like, he's, you know, it's literally that player. Actually, I don't know. Yeah, you can make a point for either side.
Clocking the ball. Clocking the ball with 1 second left. Like, on the one, like, you have to be aware of that clock. I mean, there's a giant TV in your stadium, okay? Like, of all the places to not have an excuse, it's AT&T Stadium.
Right.
Like, that is a level of stupidity by Dak Prescott that is, I don't think I've ever seen that. And like, everybody knows you just call your, you know, you call a Hail Mary or whatever your play is. Do some kind of like emergency play right there. You don't clock the ball. If anybody brings up Dak Prescott on the word football IQ without the words below average or low as part of that sentence, I am out.
Yeah. And I mean, I know the play call. That's a fair point. I know the play call is, you know, brought into question. The officiating is brought into question, but you bring a really good point up, and that's, you know, Dak is the play caller on the field there, and that's his decision. He could have slid 5-10. What difference does it make 5-10 more yards if you're going to have a last ditch play? Could have slid earlier. The decision to not realize you had to hand the ball to the ref, like grab that ball and find the ref that's running down so he can set it. Not, you know, just understanding the process of what needs to happen. You know, McCarthy, I think, had mentioned, like, you know, it was a play that they practice or whatever, but apparently not well enough because, you know, it wasn't something that was executed well at all. I would question the play call, but even then, I'm willing to give the ref a little bit of leeway as far as he has to run down and do his job. I'm not sure why he's 20 yards behind the line of scrimmage. You know, maybe in position for a pick six or something. I don't know why he's that far back. But you know, that obviously raises a question or raises eyebrows. You know, McCarthy's decision or the play call raises whether it's Kellen Moore or McCarthy raises a question mark. But really, like, even that all being true, the decision making in that actual play, as you mentioned, like, you have to know. And he could have gotten down 5-10 yards earlier and it wouldn't have made a difference. You know, it still would have been a Hail Mary or a last ditch attempt. They didn't need a field goal. It wasn't like they were trying to get in field goal range. So,
and you can say the exact same thing about the draw play, right? With a couple seconds left in the game, any other quarterback who has the same amount of years as Dak Prescott, when their coach calls in a draw play with 20 seconds left in the game and no timeouts, you know what they do? They audible out of that shit.
Yep.
And they say, no, I'm not doing that. They pull Aaron Rodgers and throw that away or whatever they need to do because right. They know we're not running a draw play with 20 seconds left, Big Mike. Like, you can go smash all the watermelons you want afterwards. No draw plays.
Right.
20 seconds, like, just,
yeah, could you imagine that management. Could you imagine that call coming into like Brady or Rodgers or even Stafford or any of those guys' headsets, even Tannehill Josh or Allen. Josh Allen or, right, exactly,
yep.
They're gonna be like, oh, good one.
I mean, honestly, you need a touchdown, what's 10 more yards right then,
right?
That has an arm, you can make that throw,
right? Yeah, that was ridiculous, and I already feel bad about how much breath we've wasted on the Cowboys because that was just it was a poor outing once again. You know, no playoff wins, and I'm fine with it, but I know the state of Texas and Cowboy fans have to be furious.
So looking now into the divisional matchup, and as we record this, I'm not sure when you'll be listening to this, but as we record this, it is Saturday morning, so the games have not yet taken place. So let's just go through each matchup, and I want to hear what you know what your thoughts are. We'll go through this really quickly. Let's start with kind of the marquee matchup: Bills versus Chiefs.
So this is the one. It's funny that you chose this one. Obviously, it's the I would say it's the marquee matchup, a rematch of last year's AFC Championship game that the Chiefs won 34-38-24, I believe. You know, kind of dominated it a little bit. I've gone back and forth on this all week. I think early on, I liked the Bills. The more I sat and thought about it, I like this Chiefs team at home, feeling a little disrespected. You know, the line is, last I saw it, I think it was 1.5, somewhere between 1.5 and 2.5 at home, which means, you know, it's basically a pickup game, if not a little bit favored towards the Bills on the betting side of it or on the Vegas line side of it. I think the Chiefs, I mean, the Bills are a tough team. The Bills are a physical team. They just overcame that huge hurdle of the Patriots, right? Both in the divisional crowns back-to-back years, as well as the playoff win of just dominating fashion there in Buffalo last weekend. The Chiefs, I think, they're just slept on a little bit, and it makes me think of the old classic, don't believe the hype. The Bills are good. Josh Allen played out of his mind against the Patriots. One of the best performances I've seen probably of like any quarterback in the, you know, since like Joe Flacco had that run in the playoffs. And even that didn't compare to what Allen did. But the Chiefs are 8-2 at home this year. I think if this game is in Buffalo, I probably would have stuck with my Buffalo pick. But I'm firmly on the Chiefs side of this game. I really think that they're weirdly in a spot where they are disrespected and maybe a little bit of the nobody believes in us right now, which is crazy because they were a D-Ford offsides away from 3 straight trips to the Super Bowl. This team's, you know, been incredible. Obviously, the last two, they won it 2 years ago and then lost to Brady's Bucks last year. The divisional round, this one, just quick little tidbits. 3 of these games are rematches from earlier games in the season. I don't know how you feel about that. It's often a different, completely different game, completely different team when you factor in injuries and health and stuff like that. You know, the Bills got them earlier this year at KC week 5, 38-20. But this is a different animal. It's playoffs, it's Arrowhead, it's Mahomes. The defense is playing much better the tail end of the season. On my side of things, I say give me the Chiefs. I like as the betting side of it. I like the Chiefs and the under. Tease it a little bit. If you want to do like a same game thing, you can bring the Chiefs up to like +5 on a 7-point tease or something like that. And I think the over was at like 54, 55. I like that under. I know a lot of people are going to be searching the over and a lot of points and stuff like that. I think this thing starts off a little bit of clenched buttholes and then starts opening up maybe later in the game. But I'm leaning Chiefs. You?
Yeah, I think it's an interesting matchup. I mean, I think that normally when a team has already played each other earlier in the season, the team that won during the regular season often wins again in the playoffs.
Sure.
And so right now I'm actually leading Bills. You know what? I still, and maybe it's just, it's the, I saw the Chiefs play this year. They have seemed to have turned it on against opponents here, but look at the quality of opponents down the stretch. I'm not that impressed with who they've played.
Sure.
Let's face it. They had a weak division this year. I know the Raiders got in, but I mean, the Raiders, wasn't big on the Raiders.
Raiders and Chargers. Going on. Yeah.
A lot of chaos going on in that division. Chargers can't seem to win a big game. And of course the Broncos are the Broncos right now. So I don't know.
The biggest game that
same thing too, I guess, about the Bills, but you so
could. Yeah. The thing that stands out in my mind for recent history is that Chiefs Bengals game. Because the Chiefs played well in that game. It's just they couldn't stop the Bengals. They couldn't stop Burrow and Chase. So that gives me, again, that's why to me, this is the most difficult one to pick of the weekend, in my opinion. I feel like either side that if you were to take in this game, if you were to bet on something, I feel either side, if you lose, you're going to kick yourself. Like if you are heavy on the Bills, you bet the Bills and the Chiefs win, you're going to be like, why did I go against the Chiefs? And I think vice versa, if you bet the Chiefs or you think the Chiefs are going to win, and the Bills pull it off, you'll think, why didn't I see this? You know, they were humming last week. I think the Arrowhead factor is a big factor. The Chiefs are so good at home. They're so good at home.
They really are. Honestly, right now, if I'm a pick right now, I would pick money line for the Bills. I think the Bills make this one happen.
Yep.
For betting purposes, I'm probably going to live bet it after the first quarter and see what kind of style of football is being played, right? Sure. Is it, if it's smash mouth and physical, I'm going to go with Buffalo.
My favorite's
the Buffalo. More physical team.
Yep.
Yep. And if it's more finesse and Kansas City's able to use their speed, then I'd probably go with the Chiefs.
That's the way to go. I already have mine in, as I mentioned, the teaser, but same thing for the over under. If you're looking at the total side of stuff, you'll know within the first, I'd say each team gets two possessions of the first quarter. You'll know real quick, is this game going, you know, is this going to be a shootout back and forth defenses, you know, who's the first to make a stop, or is it something where the offenses, you know, are maybe playing a little bit of chess. The other game that's on my mind, we'll kind of work our way back here a little bit, but is the other Sunday game is the Rams Bucks. The interesting thing to me about the reason these are kind of similar to me is the Bills looked really good last week, right? And the Rams looked really, really good last week. I mean, the Bucks and the Chiefs look fine as well, but those were kind of, the Rams are the last thing we saw, the Rams destroying, just absolutely dominating the Arizona Cardinals. So there's a part of me that's worried that they're overvalued right now, the Rams specifically, because of how bad that Arizona team was, and specifically how bad they played that night on Monday night. What's your lean in? So they played earlier in the year, obviously very, very different teams now. No Godwin on the Bucs side, no Robert Woods on the Rams side. They obviously brought in OBJ, who's kind of become very much a part of their offense in the last few weeks. But the Rams went and played them, I think it was week three, so very, very early. And they won 34-24. But what do you look at for this rematch?
Yeah, I mean, the Rams won one of the toughest divisions in football, against Arizona and Seattle, out there in the West. So I give them a lot of credit for that. This is a hard one, and it's hard because I don't know where to put the Rams. I, you know, I get all the media hype about it because it's an LA market and everybody was talking about the LA Rams. So I get the media hype about the Rams. I also see at the same time, I see a lot of injuries and the list of injuries for Tampa Bay, but it's still Tom Brady. And as long as Tom Brady is wearing a football and throwing a halt or throwing a football, I'm not going to bet against him. I just can't do it. So yeah. I'm taking the Bucks to cover this weekend, to cover the 3-point spread. I like that. I think it's,
it's tough to go against Brady. If Brady wasn't their quarterback, I'm even thinking like, say Aaron Rodgers is the Bucks quarterback. Would you like him against the Rams? Yep.
No.
No. Okay.
No, I wouldn't. No, I don't think so.
You might not feel as like
as confident. I may alternate, you know, maybe take that to 3.5. Like, I don't know.
It's the Brady factor. It really is. The biggest thing, and I'm on the other side of this. I like Rams. I took them money line. I think right now somewhere between like +125, +130. I just think it worries me because the Rams do have a tendency. Stafford especially has a tendency. Granted, he got the monkey off his back with his first playoff win, but that Arizona team, I keep coming back to it. They played so bad Monday night. They were so out of sorts.
Cliff Kingsbury is a terrible coach. Let's put it this way. Okay. Cliff Kingsbury, the only claim to fame he has is not winning with Patrick Mahomes.
Going 5-7.
That's it.
Patrick Mahomes, yeah.
That is it. Okay. He's a trash coach. And I cannot wait for the day he gets fired because he's bad for the NFL. So I was very happy to see him lose another one. And to quote DJ Khaled, another one.
Yeah. I like the Rams in this game merely because of matchups. I know both teams have offensive line issues. Whitworth is going to be out. I think Wirfs and was it Jensen for the Bucks? I think they're supposed to start, but they did not look healthy in the second part of that Eagles game, even when they came back in. The pass rush for the Rams worries me. And I think the lack of receivers and options for Brady, I just think eventually catches up for him. It makes me nervous as hell to bet against Tom Brady, but I do like the Rams to pull it out on the money line side of stuff. I just think the matchup's tough. Brady is a magician. He's amazing, but he needs dudes to throw it to, and he needs time. And I don't know if he's going to have both of those things in high demand, but that'll be a fascinating one to see. The Sunday games are going to be really, really quite interesting to watch. I mean, all these matchups are going to be awesome, but I am looking forward to that Sunday game as well.
So let's go into the Saturday games then. Begin with the Saturday night game. Again, we'll just kind of work our way backwards here. What do you like or don't like in Niners versus Packers?
So I'll say this. The only thing I don't like about Niners versus Packers is the history. I shouldn't say only. The history is probably the thing that worries me the most. You know, Debo Samuel and George Kittle are up there too, as far as worries as a Packer fan. It's going to be cold. It's going to be Lambeau. It's going to be Rodgers. I think this Packers team feels a little special. Their special teams, speaking of special, is anything but special. They won this game in the first go. They won this game 30-28 on a Mason Crosby field goal in San Fran back in week 3. Again, completely different teams now, but you know, that was also right before Crosby's midseason meltdown. I hope it doesn't come down to a Crosby kick. I'll say that. I also don't think it will. The line's pretty high. I think it's anywhere from usually 5. It was at 6 at one point this week. You know, the Niners by 6.
That's a lot of points.
I don't know. I guess I would not be entirely surprised if the Packers win this game by 10. I think Garoppolo being limited to throw is a huge factor. I think their defense is a little better than it's been in the past couple of years. I don't think they're world beaters, but I think they do enough. They're getting some pass rushing ability back. And I know I've heard a lot of people talk about, like, well, it's their first week back of guys like Zadarius Smith, Merciless there coming back.
Yep.
Jair, I think, has been practicing as well, which will be huge. And I've heard a lot of people say, you know, well, that first week back, they might not be 100% accurate. Like that makes sense to me. But when you're talking about guys like Zadarius Smith and Merciless, like these are pass rushing type guys. I don't know. I'm not trying to take away from that position. It's a tough position to play, but it gives us more depth. It gives us more bodies to get up on to have on that defensive line. I'm trying really hard to manage my expectations as a Packer fan, but I feel kind of confident about this one.
I'm curious, and I get Garoppolo has the injured thumb and whatnot, but my concern is about the Packers' run defense and how they're going to be able to stop the wide back Debo Samuel if he's moving around. And especially with Garoppolo being limited, I expect a heavy dose of running by San Francisco. So I think it's going to be key to stop them on first and second down and put them into passing situations is going to be the key to the Green Bay success. Look, we know that Rodgers is going to do what Rodgers does. And look for the 49ers to make some mistakes. They're a young football team. I know they've been the Super Bowl and the championship a couple of years back, against Kansas City there. But this is a pretty relatively young and inexperienced team here. So we shall see what happens with the – I think we'll see what happens with the game, but I like the Packers this one too. I like them to carry the spread here. So
right.
I'm probably going to stick with the 5.5 against I'm taking the 5.5 and having the Packers cover.
Right. Yeah. And it makes sense. I will say this, you know, a lot is made the way the Niners ran the ball down our throats. Was it a couple years back? Us, I mean the Packers, if you guys haven't figured that out yet. The way they ran the ball down the Packers' throat, you know, is that why I say the thing that worries me the most is history. It's just that memory in my head. I think this defense is just more up. It has seemed all year that to be more up to the challenge of making stops, of hitting people, of getting them on the ground. And I'll say this, like, I know the Niners are, they're the team I least wanted to see as a Packer fan, because they play physical, and because I knew the cold in Lambeau would affect them the least, because of their run game.
This will be the first game, according to reports I heard, that Garoppolo will have a game that's the temperature is below 32 degrees, or like one of the first games that he's ever had to play with in under 32 degrees. Yeah, as a starter. So we'll see what happens.
He obviously played in Eastern Michigan and on the bench with the Pats, but he hasn't had to play and start in this. And it's a different cold. Like I lived in Wisconsin for most of my life. I lived up in Boston for a while before coming to Oklahoma. There's not a place like Wisconsin or northern Minnesota that cold is different. If you haven't experienced it, just trust me. It's kind of like, I'm sure people get sick of hearing it, but it's if you can curl up in a ball and hide in a chest freezer for like half hour, that's what it feels like. So it's just a different cold. I like the Packers money line parlay with the Titans, which we'll get to. So Packers Titans money line.
Okay, let's talk about the Titans then.
If you were to take both of them just to win, it's plus 115. So you bet $10, you win 15.
Oh, nice.
You know, that type of deal, or you win 11.5. I think the Titans are. I think the Titans are overlooked. Like I can't remember a one seed with a bye getting their star player back. That is getting seemingly no love at all, at least from sports media that I've heard. They're at home. They have Vrabel. They got Henry coming back. The Titans were 6-2. Yeah, 6-2 before Henry got hurt against the Colts, but they were 6-3 after him or without him this year. I think this team is good. And the thing that doesn't get talked about, because you talk about Tannehill, you talk about AJ Brown, talk about Henry coming back, even the running back committee they've been having going with Foreman and McNichols and those guys. The thing that doesn't get talked enough about is that defensive line. I think their defense has been playing really well. And I think that defensive line gets pressure, and specifically against the Bengals, who are a threat offensively, like the Boyd, Uzoma, Chase, obviously, like Burrow, is making great decisions in his second year. Their offense is something, you know, to fear, something to be worried about. But I think the Titans are a much better team. So for me in the Saturday games, could be completely wrong, but I think the Packers Titans just to win, like a money line parlay like that, or if you're just making a pools pick just to win, I kind of feel that, the risk of being too arrogant, I kind of feel like those are locks. Like I really like the Titans in a big way this way. I actually took an adjusted line spread of like plus 200. There were Titans to win minus 9.5. I think they beat up on them a little bit. What about you as a former Tennessee native and, Titans fan here, how are you feeling about this game?
Yeah, I'm with you. You know, I'll give you two stats that I think tell you everything that you need to know about this game. Number one, Mike Vrabel is 6-0 or 8-0 against teams when he's had more than 8 days to prepare for a game.
Yeah, I think it's 8-0.
He's undefeated in that, which is phenomenal. Another stat that I found last night was this. I looked up what have the Bengals rush defense. What are they? You know, what's the rush defense? And they rank pretty good, right? In the year, they've had pretty good rushing opponent, you know, holding opponents. And then I looked at the last three games. And the last three games, they've averaged giving up more than 150 yards per game. If you do, and that's the last three. And then again, they're playing the likes of the Raiders, Chargers. You know, obviously, it's some decent running backs, but no one that the caliber of Derrick Henry, who is fully rested, fully ready to go, and that big old offensive line.
Right.
And I like the Titans to win. I don't know if I do a 10 or 9.5 parlay. I think the score will be close, but the game itself won't be.
Gotcha.
Just because of the style of football that Tennessee plays.
And Tennessee does have a tendency to play close games, no matter who they're playing. So.
And so I look for Joe Burrow to sit on the sideline for a long period of the game. and a lot of clock management. And don't forget, too, the Tennessee Titans have one of the best safeties in the National Football League in Kevin Byard. So yeah. I think he can limit what Ja'Marr Chase and Joe Burrow is able to do. And I don't think they'll have a whole lot of opportunities to do much of anything there. So yep. We shall see what happens.
The huge advantage for the Titans, besides the rest and the home field, is they're getting Henry back, but also these other guys have been playing really well too. So they have, again, when it comes down to this part of the season, depth is so huge. The ability to rotate guys out and not have much of a drop off is just a massive advantage. And I think the Titans have that specifically in the run game, as you mentioned. One quick note to keep in mind as you're thinking about some of these games, or maybe if you're making picks or trying to decide on teams you like, in the divisional round the last 10 years, right? So there's been 40 games the last 10 years. Home teams are 31-9. Three of the last four divisional rounds that we've had, like the last 4 years, three of those years, at least three of the home teams have advanced. So I think that we could be in store for some good games, maybe some close games. But history does show that the home teams, that usually there's only about one, usually there's only one team that, that might be able to go on the road in this round and pull something off. I think from the sounds of it for us, we're looking at, you know, that Sunday matchup of either the Rams over the Bucks for me or the Bills over the Chiefs for you. So it'll probably be the Titans or the Packers the way things go usually. We'll probably find a way to be wrong somehow, but that's what I like. That's what I'm looking forward to. You know, these are all really good teams. And so that's the fun part of football in this round is, you know, all these teams are really, really good. You know, at different points in the year, I've taken the Titans to win the AFC. I've taken the Bengals to win the AFC and I've taken the Bills to win the AFC. So I guess, even though I'm picking the Chiefs to win, I should actually wind up, you know, basically those are all fading the Chiefs, but they're the returning AFC champion. So, I mean, those four teams in the AFC are incredible. Obviously the Packers, Niners, Rams, and Bucks, any one of those teams could win it all too. So it's going to be a fun divisional weekend.
Who do you, so going, looking at projecting ahead here as we wrap up, you like the Chiefs as the AFC representatives in the Super Bowl. I'm going to go with my home. I'm going to go with Tennessee. Why not? And then I'm going to pick the Packers and the NFC as well, too, as allegiance to great state of Wisconsin.
Yeah.
But I think both teams are number one for a reason. So I'm going to pick Titans, Packers, Super Bowl. Who do you have facing the Chiefs in the Super Bowl?
Yeah. So I think, I mean, again, I bet everybody but the Chiefs in the AFC right now to make the Super Bowl. But I do lean the Chiefs. I think they're just, until dethroned, I just feel like they're probably still the best team in the AFC. But I also like the Packers. I mean, it's a little chalky of a pick. I think that Packers Niners winner, I think they get to the Super Bowl. And as I said before, I feel pretty confident the Packers will beat the Niners. So I really do. If for whatever reason, the Niners, you know, pull the upset at Lambeau, I think those are the two best team. I think those are the two healthiest and the two best teams in the NFC. So I lean Packers Chiefs for a Super Bowl. I think that'd be awesome. You know, Mahomes would then have had a chance to go against the likes of, you know, Brady and Rodgers back to back. I think that would be awesome. I like Chiefs, you know, that rematch of that, what was it, Super Bowl I or Super Bowl II, the Packers Chiefs. And, you know, it's a chalky pick. I do. I think those teams are the best, but we'll see how it plays out this weekend.
Yeah. I like the Packers with you. I'll say that if it's Tennessee versus Green Bay in the Super Bowl, I look for Tennessee to win and Derrick Henry to get the Super Bowl MVP and to run. Gotcha. As much as it would break my heart in a way to run Rodgers and company right outside of that building out of SoFi. So right. that's my pick right there. I think that the style of football that Tennessee's playing right now just cannot be stopped.
Yeah.
Especially with Henry coming back. They got to win three more games, and I like Tennessee to be able to do that. So
yeah, I mean they're built
for it. If it's Chiefs Packers, who are you picking?
I like the Packers. I really do think the Packers are probably the best team in the field right now. The special teams part of it scares me. It's such a deficiency for them. They're probably going to give up, you know, or somehow, you know, -3 to 4 points every game because of their special teams, unless they get that figured out. But it's a tough thing to be 32nd in the league on and then just figure it out here in the playoffs. But I do think they're the most complete team. I think the offense is scary. I don't know, objectively looking back, I don't know what you do with the likes of the Jones, Dylan tandem. Devontae just gets free. I mean, Rodgers, obviously, but specifically the defense. I think in the years past, the defense is the reason the Rodgers hasn't been to a Super Bowl in the last 10 years. And I think they're good enough. Like, I really do. I think they're good enough. None of these other teams that I look at that do I feel like, oh, that defense is much better than the Packers. I think they have, you know, a compatible group. So we'll see. Again, the Niners to me are, there's, like you said, three games to play. The Niners to me are probably the second best team remaining in the field. And so that'll be a hell of a matchup there on Saturday night. I like the Packers to get through. If what you're saying is true and Derrick Henry becomes Terrell Davis 2.0, it's going to be a tough recovery for me, but I'm looking for it. The older I get, I'm still a massive fan of my teams. The older I get, the more I do appreciate, just good football, you know, just good football play as well. So looking forward to these divisional matchups, looking forward to, you know, the Saturday slate and the Sunday slate should be good as well. And kind of kicking our feet up a little bit and taking some of this in.
Yeah. Happy betting to all our listeners. Happy, and hopefully whatever team that you are going for, hope they do well, as long as it does not impact our own betting odds or the Tennessee Titans or the Packers. So if you're rooting for anything else besides that, hope you guys do well. If not, you're dead to us.
Right. Exactly.
Okay. Hope your bets work and best of luck there.
I'm hoping for good games. Some of the, you know, maybe on the betting side, some of it would be nice if the team you took just blows out the other team, but I'm looking forward to some hopefully tight contested matchups.
Should be good. All right.
All righty. Thank you guys for listening again. As we mentioned at the top of the podcast here, if you do feel so inclined, definitely be grateful for prayers and thoughts for our mom. And if you're led to donate as well, you can find that at gofundme.com/GailGaudet. That's GAILGAUDET. But again, thanks for listening to On Further Review, and happy divisional weekend.